If you've got any clever tricks up your sleeve, this is the time to trot them out. Luke bit at his lip, his mind racing. There was a way, he knew, to use the Force to create a low-level personal shield. But to maintain the shield long enough, especially against so many individual adversaries, would be practically impossible. Besides, it was doubtful he could also shield Mara that way, and she almost certainly didn't know the technique herself. Using the Force to move each individual fire creeper out of the way as they passed would be an equally impossible task, even with Mara working alongside of him. And if these insects were anything like Deverian Roverines, it would only take one of them getting through and sinking a poisoned stinger to shake their control and alert the rest of the swarm to the presence of food. No, their only hope was to stay out of the fire creeper's way entirely. Either somewhere farther down the tunnel, or else... The archway! Mara said suddenly. We'll need footrests about 2 meters up. Right, Luke said, igniting his lightsaber and stepping into the opening as he measured the distance with his eyes. Yes, it would just work. Assuming they had enough time to make the necessary preparations. R2, close down all your openings. He called as he swung the tip of the brilliant green blade horizontally into the inner edge of the archway's side pillar, half a meter above his head. If the Cortosasaur extended this far out from the passageway wall... Oh, fortunately it didn't. His lightsaber blade sliced cleanly inward a few centimeters into the rock, without a hint of trouble. Child of Winds, get to that opening up there, he called, as he got a Force grip on the lightsaber and lifted it up to the rock over the cut he'd just made. Find a place to hang on and stay there.
What about you, Jedi Skywalker?
The young Quam Quay asked anxiously, the fluttering of his wings nearly drowned out by the hum of the two lightsabers.
How will you protect yourselves?
You'll see, Luke assured him. He brought the lightsaber blade down at a not-quite-vertical angle, slicing out a rough wedge of stone and leaving behind a shallow horizontal ledge in the inner edge of the archway. The rustling of the approaching fire creepers was growing steadily louder. Mara? I'm finished! Mara called over the noise, the blue-white glow reflected from behind him vanishing as she shut down her lightsaber. We've got maybe 20 seconds! Luke looked down the tunnel as he pulled his lightsaber back to his hand. The leading edge of the swarm was barely 5 meters away, the entire passageway behind them absolutely black with the insects. I'm ready, he told her, shutting down the weapon and returning it to his belt. On three? On three, Mara said. Luke took half a step backward, and for a moment his back pressed against Mara's as they each gauged the distances and stretched out in their own ways to the Force. On three, Luke repeated, trying to ignore the sound that seemed to fill the entire passageway. Across by one wall, R2 moaned with fear. One, two, three! He jumped upward toward his footrest, turning his body halfway around as he did so, and hoping belatedly that the arc of his leap wouldn't be high enough to crack his head against the curved rock above him. As he came around to face the center of the archway, he caught sight of Mara, also in midair, with her back to the rock, starting to come down toward her own newly carved footrest. Her arms were stretched toward him, palms outward, as if she were reaching out to push him away. Luke got his own arms up, palms similarly outward, as their heels came thunking solidly down onto their footrests. Their palms met, their fingers intertwined. Mara took a deep breath, exhaling it in a rush just audible above the noise of the fire creepers now swarming through the passageway beneath their feet.
I'll be castled, she said. It worked.
Luke nodded, taking a deep breath of his own. With their feet resting on the cutouts they'd made, their arms stretched rigidly out, their hands clasped to brace and support one another, they had in effect become a living archway within the stone one. And as long as they stayed that way, they would remain safe above the flow of insects. But if either one of them fell...
Cozy, isn't it? Mara commented, looking around. Very symbolic, too. The great and powerful Jedi Master forced to rely on someone else for his survival?
I wish you'd drop that, Luke growled. I've already admitted I can't do everything. Which isn't quite the same as relying on other people, Mara said. But okay, consider it dropped. Looks like we're just high enough.
Luke looked down. The river of fire creepers, as he'd already seen, sloshed a fair distance up the walls of the passageway as too many insects tried to travel through too small a space. Here at the archway, where the tunnel was still narrower, they roved even higher, with some of the insects passing barely centimeters beneath their footrests.
You think they can eat through our boots? He asked.
If enough of them climb aboard and start chewing, they can probably eat through anything, Mara said. And all it'll take will be one of them noticing us to wave whatever chemical flags they use to whistle up the rest of the swarm.
Luke nodded grimly. So in other words, if any of them look like they're getting close, grab them with the force and get rid of them fast.
Better still, throw them across the cave into a wall, Mara said. What I'd like to know is what they're doing down here. There can't possibly be enough food in this entire cavern complex for a swarm this size.
Maybe it's a shortcut from one part of the surface to another, Luke suggested. There's that underground river we passed a ways back. Maybe they come here for the water.
Could be, Mara said, peering to the side. I wish we'd had time to move our packs up off. What, in space?
Luke followed her gaze just in time to see Builder with Vine swoop down in a shallow dive over the scurrying fire creepers and curb up again with what appeared to be some of the insects in his mouth.
He's eating them, he said, not quite believing it.
Of course he is, Mara said. Eater of fire creepers, remember?
But then... Luke floundered, thoroughly confused now.
Are they really not that dangerous?
Of course they're dangerous, Mara snorted. You ever hear of the top shot in any clan who picked a name that made him sound calm and reasonable? This has to be the Quam Ja version of Kick the Rancor.
Kick the Rancor?
A slang term in Palpatine's court, Mara said.
Any stupid stunt where the wrists were way out of proportion to the game.
Luke worked moisture into a suddenly dry mouth as he watched Builder with Vines finish his snack and swoop down for another pass. Why in the name of the Force was he taking such a terrible risk? And it was a terrible risk. Luke could feel the danger involved, his Jedi senses tingling almost as strongly as if the threat had been aimed directly at him. Surely Builder with Vines couldn't be that hungry, could he?
Offhand, I'd say he's showing off,
Mara muttered, answering his silent question.
For who? Us?
Hardly.
Mara nodded toward the wall behind Luke.
For the kid.
Luke craned his neck to look. Balanced precariously on a stone near the Quam Ja opening, Child of Winds was watching with utter fascination as Builder with Vines swooped over the mass of insects, his wings quivering with excitement or nervousness or envy.
Uh-oh, Luke said. You don't think...
I would hope he's not that stupid, Mara said. But the Quam Ja have been riding him ever since we headed out on this little trip. He just might.
Luke grimaced.
Child of Winds, you stay where you are, he ordered, putting Jedi firmness into his voice. You're not to try to do what Builder with Vines is...
And suddenly, a terrified shriek screamed through his mind.
What?
He gasped, his body twitching violently with the shock of the sound.
It's Builder with Vines, Mara bit out,
her fingers tightening around Luke's to help maintain their balance. Luke looked down to a horrifying sight. Builder with Vines, his wings flapping frantically but uselessly, was struggling half-submerged in the living river flowing through the passageway. Dozens of fire creepers were already crawling across his head and wings, biting and stinging. Even as Child of Wind's terrified cry joined Builder with Vines' scream in Luke's mind, 100 more of the insects crawled onto the Quam Ja, their weight forcing him still deeper beneath the flow. There was no time to waste. Stretching out with the force, Luke hauled Builder with vines up and out of the flow, holding him suspended in midair. He shifted his focus to the insects grabbing them through the force and throwing them off him.
"Don't bother," Mara said quietly. "There's nothing you can do."
Luke bit back the reflexive impulse to deny it. He was a Jedi. There had to be something he could do. But no, she was right. And as Builder with Vine's mental scream died into the silence of death, he let the body sink gently back into the mindless flow.
"Easy on the fingers," Mara said softly.
With an effort, Luke turned his gaze back to her, focusing on their joined hands. His fingers were all but white where he was squeezing hers tightly in frustration. "Sorry," he muttered, forcing himself to relax his grip.
"It's all right,"
she said.
"You know you've got a pretty good grip there. I thought you Jedi usually concentrated more on the mental aspects of the Force than you did in keeping in shape."
She was trying to deflect his attention, he knew, trying to turn his thoughts away from the horror he'd just witnessed. Sympathy from Mara was a new experience all by itself. But neither words nor sympathy had a puddle's chance of smoothing over the guilt and anger rising in his throat like a twisting sand devil.
"It's not all right," he snapped back at her. "I knew it was dangerous. I could have stopped him. I should have stopped him."
"How?"
Mara countered.
"I mean, sure, you could have used the Force to pin him to the ceiling. But what right would you have had to do something like that?"
"What do you mean, what right?" Luke bit out.
"I was the one in charge here. Their safety was my responsibility."
"Oh, come on,"
Mara said. The sympathy still there, but with a tinge of scorn around the edges now.
"Builder with Vines was an intelligent, reasonable adult being. He knew what he was doing. He made his choice, and he suffered the consequences. If you want to start feeling guilty about mistakes, start with ones that were actually your fault."
"Such as?" Luke growled. For a long moment, Mara gazed coolly at him, and Luke felt a sudden wave of misgiving rippling through his anger.
"Such as?"
Mara repeated.
"Well, let's see. Such as not moving your Jedi Academy off Yavin when you first found out a really nasty dark side power was infesting the place. Such as not slapping down a tipped turbo laser like Kip Duran the minute he started showing dark side tendencies of his own. Such as not providing adequate protection for your sister's children against kidnapping, despite the fact it had already been tried a couple of times. Such as unilaterally declaring yourself a Jedi Master after less than 10 years on the job. How long a list do you want?"
Luke tried to glare at her, but there was no strength behind the glare. And with a grimace of embarrassment, he dropped his gaze from her face.
"You're right," he sighed. "You're absolutely right. I don't know, Mara. It's been... I don't know."
"Let me guess,"
she said, the sarcasm gone from her voice again.
"Life as a Jedi has been a lot foggier than you ever expected it to be. You've had trouble understanding what you're supposed to do or how you're supposed to behave. You've been gaining tremendous power in the Force, but more often than not, you've been paralyzed with fear that you're going to use it the wrong way. Am I getting warm?"
Luke stared at her.
"Yes,"
he said, not quite believing it.
How had she known?
"That's it exactly. And yet,"
she continued,
"sometime in the past couple of months, things have suddenly become clearer. Not that you've had any great lightning bolt insights, but a lot of the hesitation has disappeared, and you found it easier to stay on what seems in hindsight to have been the right path."
"Right again,"
Luke said.
"Though there have also been one or two pretty impressive revelations,"
he added, thinking back.
"The vision on Tearfawn that got me in touch with Carr just in time to hear about you being trapped here, for one."
He eyed her closely.
"You know what's been going on?"
"Yes. It's been only slightly more visible than blindingly obvious,"
she said dryly.
"Certainly to me. Probably to Leia and Corrin and some of the other Jedi students, too. possibly to everyone else in the New Republic.
Oh, thank you, Luke said, trying to match her tone and not entirely succeeding. That makes me feel so much better.
Good. It was supposed to.
Mara took a deep breath, and Luke could sense her reluctance.
Look, you're the one in the middle of this. You're the one who has to make the final call on what's going on. But if you want my reading, it all started with that little jaunt you took out to Biss about 9 years ago, where you faced whatever it was you faced out there.
Luke shivered. The reborn emperor.
Or whatever, Mara said with an odd touch of impatience. Personally, I'm not convinced it was really him. But that's beside the point. The point was that you decided, stupidly and rather arrogantly in my opinion, that the best way to stop him would be for you to pretend to join up and let him teach you some of his dark side techniques.
But I didn't really go over to the dark side,
Luke protested, trying to remember those dark days.
I mean, I don't think I did.
Mara shook her head.
Debatable. But it almost doesn't matter. One way or the other, you still willingly dabbled in it. And from that point on, it colored everything you did.
One of Master Yoda's pronouncements floated up from his memory.
If once you start down the dark path,
his old teacher had warned,
forever will it dominate your destiny.
It did too, didn't it? He murmured, half to himself, as all the errors and mistakes, and yes, the arrogance of the past 9 years, rose accusingly before his eyes. What was I thinking?
You weren't thinking,
Mara said, an odd mixture of impatience and compassion swirling together in her voice and emotions.
You were reacting, trying to save everyone and do everything. And in the process, you came within a split blaster bolt of destroying yourself.
So what changed?
He asked.
What happened?
Mara's eyes narrowed fractionally.
You telling me you don't know?
Luke grimaced, wondering that he hadn't seen it earlier. That critical moment off Iphigen, as he and Han had prepared for combat against that pirate gang Han had deduced, was on its way. The moment when he'd seen the vision of Emperor Palpatine and Exar Kun laughing at him.
No, I know, he conceded. I made a decision to stop using the power of the Force so much.
And suddenly, through that mixture of compassion and impatience, came a wave of something completely unexpected. An overpowering flood of relief.
You got it,
Mara said quietly.
Finally.
Luke shook his head.
But why?
He demanded.
The power's obviously there, available for a Jedi to use. Is it just because I touched the dark side that using it is so bad for me?
That's probably part of it,
Mara said.
But even if you'd never done that, you'd still have run into trouble. You ever been in a hull plate shaping plant?
No, Luke said, blinking at the sudden change of topic.
How about an ore crushing facility?
She suggested.
Lando's had a couple of them at one time or another. You must have visited at least one of them.
I've seen the one on Varn, yes, Luke said.
The mention of Lando's name throwing a sudden damper on the cautiously growing feeling of excitement at these new revelations. Mara's relationship with Lando.
Fine,
Mara said, either missing the change in Luke's emotions or else ignoring it.
Sometimes small songbirds set up their nests in the upper supports of those buildings. Did you hear any of them singing when you were there?
Luke smiled tightly.
Again, it was so obvious.
Of course not,
he said. It was way too noisy in there to hear anything that quiet.
Mara smiled back.
Pretty obvious, isn't it? Once you see it. The Force isn't just about power, like most non-Jedi think. It's also about guidance. Everything from those impressive future visions to the more subtle real-time warnings I sometimes think of as a danger sense. Trouble is, the more you tap into it for raw power, the less you're able to hear its guidance over the noise of your own activity.
Yes, Luke murmured.
So many puzzles suddenly coming clear.
He'd often wondered how it was he could rebuild Darth Vader's personal fortress while Master Yoda had become winded doing something as relatively simple as lifting an X-Wing from the Dagobah swamp. Clearly, Yoda had understood the choices far better than his upstart pupil. And even in the short time since Luke had decided to try that same choice, he'd already seen glimpses of why Yoda had chosen that path. Subtle bits of guidance, sometimes occurring as little more than vague and almost subconscious feelings, had been showing up more and more, protecting him from a quick capture back at the Kavarlu Pirates' asteroid base, or quietly prompting him to accept Child of Winds's assistance, which had led directly to this cavern and the pride-motivated aid of the Quamja.
I was on Iphigen a couple of months ago, helping Han with some negotiations, he said. The Diamala at the talks told Han that Jedi who used as much power as I did always ended up slipping over to the dark side. They may be right, Mara agreed. Not all dark Jedi come from botched training, you know. Some of them slip into it all by themselves. Not a very pleasant thought,
Luke said soberly, thinking about his Yavin Academy, of his successes, Jedi instruction there, and his failures.
Especially given that I started teaching under dark side influence. Yes, I noticed that too, Mara agreed. Possibly one of the major reasons you didn't do very well with that first batch of students.
Luke made a face.
Is that why you didn't stay? That and the changes I saw in you, she said. You didn't seem interested in listening to any warnings about what you were doing. And I decided that when it collapsed around you, it wouldn't do either of us any good if I got caught in the rubble, too.
She shrugged.
Anyway, Corrin was there, and he seemed to have his head bolted on straight.
He wasn't there very long, though, Luke murmured.
Yes, I found that out afterward. Pity.
For a moment, neither of them said anything. Luke craned his neck to peer to the side, wondering if the end of the fire creeper swarm was visible yet. This introspection was both embarrassing and painful. And besides, they had urgent work to do. But the black carpet still stretched as far as the passageway's turns and irregularities permitted him to see.
What about you?
He asked, turning back to Mara again.
You were the Emperor's hand. Why hasn't your life been dominated by the dark side?
She shrugged uncomfortably.
Maybe it has. It certainly was from the time Palpatine took me from my home till I got rid of that last command he jammed into my mind.
Her gaze clouded over, oddly, as if she were looking into some private place within herself.
Though it's funny somehow. Palpatine never really tried to turn me to the dark side. At least not the way he turned Vader and tried to turn you. Actually, I don't think I was ever really in the dark side at all.
But everything you were doing was the Emperor's work, Luke said. If he was on the dark side, shouldn't you have been too?
Mara shook her head.
I don't know,
she admitted.
But I wasn't.
Her gaze came back, and Luke could sense the protective barrier going up again, as if she'd suddenly realized her private feelings had been a little too visible.
You're the Jedi Master. You figure it out.
I'll work on it,
Luke promised. Yes, the barriers were back up, but not as high as they'd once been. Not nearly as high.
In the meantime, she said, do those sustained control techniques you taught me work on arm muscles as well as lightsabers?
Luke focused on her arms, noticing for the first time that they were trembling slightly with muscle fatigue.
They do okay, he said. But for muscles, there's a better technique. Let me show you.
It was another hour before the swarm of fire creepers finally finished its migration beneath them and disappeared down the cavern passageway. In their wake, they left R2 and everything metal or otherwise indigestible from their packs, though the packs themselves had vanished. And of course, Builder with Vines' remains. Mara glanced once at the scattered bones, then firmly turned her eyes away. Yes, it was the Quam Jaw's own fault that he'd gotten himself killed. And yes, on one level, it was merely the balance of nature at work. And yes, she tried her best to keep Luke from taking any of the blame on himself. But none of that meant she had to like what had happened, or wanted to look at the results.
Good thing the food bars were in metal boxes,
she commented, massaging her fingers as she prodded what was left of their equipment with the tip of her boot.
The water bottles didn't hold up nearly as well, though.
There's plenty of water down here, Luke reminded her. He was standing near their cut, looking up at Child of Winds.
We just won't be able to carry extra supplies with us. It's all safe now, Child of Winds. You can come down.
The young Quam Quay didn't budge, that almost voice going again.
I understand, Luke said gently. But you have to come down. You're in the way up there, and we don't want to hit you with our lightsabers.
For a moment, Mara thought Child of Winds would decide he preferred to stay up off the floor and take his chances with the lightsabers. Then, with clear reluctance, he spread his wings and fluttered down to a slightly awkward perch on top of the droid's dome.
What now?
Mara asked, crossing to Luke's side.
Back to hack and slash?
Luke shrugged. The wall's not going to fall apart on its own, he said. Unless you think we ought to risk using the grenades. Mara peered down the passageway. Nothing was visible, but after that fire creeper swarm, she was feeling a little spooked herself.
Let's stick with the lightsabers for now, she suggested. If Splitter of Stones gets back with the reinforcements before we're finished, we'll consider it.
Sounds good,
Luke agreed, pulling his lightsaber from his belt and igniting it.
R2, keep an eye out for any more trouble.
The droid warbled a slightly nervous acknowledgement and extended his sensor unit again, nearly knocking Child of Winds off his perch as he did so.
Okay, Luke said, taking his position to the side of their cut again. Let's get started.
Right,
Mara said, igniting her own lightsaber. Luke's lightsaber slashed and died. Mara's followed similarly. And that, she realized, was that. They'd had the conversation she'd known was coming and had been dreading since he first arrived here. And while he'd obviously not exactly been thrilled by the realization of how badly he'd wrecked the past few years, he'd taken the news better than she'd expected him to. The question now was what he would do with this newfound knowledge. Whether he would take it solidly to heart and commit to what he now knew was right, or whether the lure of power and quick solutions would eventually drag him back to the easy path, the dark path. She would just have to wait and see.
This audiobook has been broken into multiple parts to make the download faster. You have reached the end of a part, but not the end of the complete audiobook. So please check your library for the next part of this audiobook.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.